All right, Wrestling Mythology fans, this is Pastor Doug Minton here with you, standing in the confessional corner to finish our look at the creeds. And that means this week, that's right, we get the big one, the Athanasian Creed. The one that everybody dreads coming to church on Trinity Sunday because you've got all the big words in here. But there was a reason why we needed all the big words in here. Because so many people could say the Apostles' Creed and not have a problem with confessing everything in the creed, but still go very vastly far afield in regards to the work of the Holy Spirit, the person and work of Christ, even the nature of God. Same thing with the Nicene Creed, although the person and work of Jesus was a little bit more contained because of the Nicene Creed. So we get the Athanasian Creed, which does spring out from Arius. And I'm going to read the notes that are in the Lutheran Service Book as they have the Athanasian Creed printed out on pages 319 and 320. Early in the 4th century, a North African pastor named Arius began teaching that Jesus Christ was not truly God. The church responded decisively in AD 325 with a statement of faith, the Nicene Creed, which confessed that Jesus is, in fact, true God. Toward the end of the 5th century, another creed was written that delved further into the mystery of the Trinity. Though attributed to Athanasius, a 4th century opponent of Arius, this anonymous creed clearly came at a later stage in the debate. The Athanasian Creed declares that its teachings concerning the Holy Trinity and our Lord's incarnation are the Catholic faith. In other words, this is what the true church of all times and all places has confessed. More than 15 centuries later, the church continues to confess this truth, confident that the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, has given himself for our salvation. The following translation may be spoken responsively by whole verse, or it may be spoken completely by everyone. So there's the note from the Lutheran Service Book, as we have the Athanasian Creed written out there. So a little bit of the history there. It is named after Athanasius, but very likely not written by him, but definitely comes upon the basis of his writings, such as his writing on the Incarnation. And now as we have this here, we have two sections in this creed. We have the section on the Trinity, and then we have the section on the Lord's Incarnation. So as the Lutheran Service Book divides it up into 40 verses, the first 26 verses are talking about the Trinity. Verses 27 through 40 are talking about the Incarnation and what we need to know in each of these things. And it begins and ends with the same phrase. Whoever desires to be saved must above all hold the Catholic faith. It's modified slightly. This is the Catholic faith. Whoever does not believe it faithfully and firmly cannot be saved. But saying the same exact thing with the beginning and the end. And then we have the creed in the middle. So let's start over again. Whoever desires to be saved must above all hold the Catholic faith. Whoever does not keep it whole and undefiled will without doubt perish eternally. And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance. We're going to stop here for a moment as we look at this. This is the Catholic faith, that we worship three gods in one essence, but there is only one God, as there is only one essence. But we worship three persons, neither confusing the persons, not giving the Father the Son's job, or the Holy Spirit the Father's job, but each one having their own job, and not dividing the substance, trying, like Arius, to make them three different gods. So we pick up, if you're reading along in here, with verse 5. For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Holy Spirit is another. But the Godhead of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit is one, the glory equal, the majesty co-eternal. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit. The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated. The Father infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite. The Father eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal. Yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal. just as there are not three uncreated or three infinites, but one uncreated and one infinite. So we have here part of what is the same between all three persons of the Trinity. And they come out swinging with this first, because this is where Arius started off, is that there was a time when Jesus was not. That Jesus was the first creation that God made, and then he created the world. But here it says, you know, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all uncreated. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are infinite. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all eternal. They have no beginning, they have no end. And it's not, that doesn't make them three, it's just one. So they go on from this uncreated, eternal, infinite argument to talking about the power of God. In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, the Holy Spirit almighty. And yet there are not three almighties, but one almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. And yet there are not three gods, but one God. So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord. And yet there are not three lords, but one Lord. So we have here again, we call each of them God and Lord. We call each of them Almighty. Yet there's not three Almighties, not three gods, but one God. You know, three persons in it. And how does this be? The Creed doesn't answer it because we can't answer it. We can't understand the Trinity. We simply keep going with what we can say about the Trinity, not dividing up the substance to make three gods, and not confusing it to try to cram everybody into one, because that's also been done by people in church history. We pick up at the bottom of page 319 and verse 19. Just as we are compelled by the Christian truth to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord, so also are we prohibited by the Catholic religion to say that there are three gods or lords. Just as we are compelled to uphold the unity, we can't try to divide them up. That's strictly forbidden. And then we get into the relationships of the three members of the Trinity. The Father is not made, nor created, nor begotten by anyone. The Son is neither made nor created, but begotten of the Father alone. The Holy Spirit is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding. Thus there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits. And in this Trinity none is before or after another, none is greater or less than another. But the whole three persons are co-eternal with each other and co-equal, so that in all things, as has been stated above, the Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity is to be worshipped. Therefore, whoever desires to be saved must think thus about the Trinity. So we have here the Father, not created, not made, not begotten. He's always there. The Son is not made nor created, but he is begotten by the Father. He is, this is why we can say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And then the Holy Spirit is from the Father and the Son, not made, not created, not begotten, but proceeding, as we see in the Gospel of John, as Jesus is talking to his disciples in the upper room on that Maundy Thursday. So we have the three roles, the three relationships that are there. And this is what we are to think of the Trinity to be saved. And so now that your brain is swimming and your mind is turning to mush, trying to figure all this out, trying to keep everything just so in your mind. So remember, this is a faith thing. We don't have to figure all this out. This is what the Bible tells us about the Trinity. This is what we believe, or we should believe, when we say we believe what the Bible says. So that's the first part of the Athanasian Creed, talking about the Trinity. Now we get to the second part, picking up in verse 27, going on to the end, what we need to know about the incarnation of our Lord. But it is also necessary for everlasting salvation that one faithfully believe the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ, Therefore, it is the right faith that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is at the same time both God and man. He is God, begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages, and he is man, born from the substance of his mother in this age. Perfect God and perfect man, composed of a rational soul and human flesh, equal to the Father with respect to his divinity, less than his Father with respect to his humanity. Although he is God and man, he is not two, but one Christ. One, however, not by the conversion of the divinity into flesh, but by the assumption of the humanity into God. One altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person. So here we are, Jesus is God and man, begotten of the Father before all worlds, begotten of his mother in time. Not two, but one person. Equal to the Father with respect to his divinity, less than the Father when regarding his humanity. So Jesus can say, both I and the Father are one, and the Father is greater than I, and not contradict himself. Because yes, the Father and he are one in the fact that they are both God. However, Jesus is less than God the Father in regards to his humanity. And it is not a trying to mesh the two of them together. Many people have tried to figure this out that, well, okay, Jesus, you know, the person of the Son took the place of the human soul in Jesus of Nazareth. And that's against the creed. That's against the Bible. That, you know, the soul that Jesus had and still has is a human soul. It is not one that was replaced by his divinity, but it was augmented. So we have it not by confusion of the substance, not by trying to make him like Hercules or Achilles or any of the ancients, demigods, but allowing him to be God and allowing him to be man. This is usually where we have our biggest problems with Jesus, not letting him be one or the other. We continue on in verse 35. For as the rational soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ, who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead, ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he will come to judge the living and the dead. So we have here, very similar to what's in the Apostles' Creed, what's in the Nicene Creed, that this is one person who did all these things. You know, God and man doing these things. And then we end with, he will come to judge the living and the dead. At his coming, all people will rise again with their bodies and give an account concerning their own deeds. It's not just a resurrection of the righteous. Everyone will be raised from the dead and then give an account according to their deeds that they have done in this life, whether they will end up spending eternity in heaven or they will spend eternity in hell. And that is exactly where the creed ends. And those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire. This is the Catholic faith. Whoever does not believe it faithfully and firmly cannot be saved. Again, it ends by saying, whoever does not believe it faithfully and firmly, not whoever can understand it and explain it. You know, we're still dealing with faith. And that is where the good and the evil come in the next to last verse, is that those who have done good, those who are in Christ, because there is no good apart from Christ, they will go into heaven. Those who are without Christ, those who refuse to listen to him, those are the ones that are in hell. They may even have been baptized before, but have fallen away from the faith. They may have walked away because either things got too tough or they just didn't like what they were hearing. Either way, you know, at the end, that is where the final decision is made. That is where the judgment is made and carried out. You know, those who have done good in Christ will go into heaven. Those who have done evil will be in hell. This is the Catholic faith. This is what we believe, teach, and confess. And this is why this is one of the three ecumenical creeds, one that has been even 1,500 years later still confessed in churches all around the world. Because it is the truth. It is what God has revealed to us in the scriptures about himself and about our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is creeds like this that help us to strengthen the foundation, that give us more things to look at, more things to consider as we wrestle with the theologies around us that want to try to put pinholes into each of these. But we have our Lord Jesus Christ. We have our faith in him, and in him we will be the ones who have done good in this life, and we will be the ones who get to enter heaven. That is the Catholic faith. That is what we believe. Amen.